Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our first installment on Megillas Esther. It's very interesting. The first chapter of Megillas Esther is somewhat perplexing why this is even important for us to know. The great detail in recounting the fabulous feast and series of feasts that Ahasuerus made for his officers and then for the general people of his provinces, it's just strange. Now, there is a famous idea that the fact that the Jews, as a general rule, did attend that feast, that in of itself was a terrible sin, and that, according to numerous sources, is the reason why they had the terrible danger of Haman and Haman's wishes later on in the Purim story. But still, there's a great amount of detail on Ahasuerus's end, not just on the meal and doesn't emphasize in the Megillah that the Jews went. It was for everybody. So there seems to be a great emphasis on the feast itself. What are we to take from that? The Malbim, who in general, the Malbim has a fascinating Parish commentary on Megillas Esther, the Malbim paints a unique picture of Ahasuerus based on this first chapter. He explains that, as is known from many sources, Ahasuerus did not come from a royal lineage. From a kingly perspective, he was, so to say, a self-made man, and he married up. In other words, Vashti did come from a royal line. And the Malbim paints a picture that it was extremely important to Ahasuerus that he not only be seen as king of these 127 provinces, but being worthy of being a king in his own right and not someone married to the queen, but a king in his own right. And therefore, says the Malbim, if you look closely at the language in the first perek, you see a number of things. So first of all, it says, Bayomim ha'heim, in those days, Kisheves ha'melech Ahasuerus, as Ahasuerus began to sit in Shushan, in the capital city Shushan. And the Malbim points out that very early in Ahasuerus's reign, he changed the capital city to Shushan. He wanted people to see his power and might as a monarch, and he wanted people to see this as a new monarchy, not a continuation of earlier monarchies. That's one thing. It makes a point that the first feast that it talks about are L'chol Sarav V'Avadov, to all of his officers and servants, and then it talks about Hapartamim. The Malbim understands that the Partamim were the long-standing government officials. Sarav Avodav were Ahasuerus's political appointees. And therefore, there's a very interesting statement being made here. In other words, yeah, he's inviting all the different government bigwigs to the event. But who does he put first? His people. The people who have been serving in the royalty for all this time, they can come too. But they're second class as far as Ahasuerus is concerned. He's focused on the new day, the new times. And in that context, the Malbim explains that the meals for the general people certainly were all about Bahar Oso in his showing the wealth of his home, the wealth of his palace, the wealth of his rule, so that people should see him in a certain light. There's a great emphasis made, limikaton viad gadol, that from small to great people, they all were there. So on the one hand, that seems extremely noble and charitable, Ahasuerus. The Malbim says there's something else going on here. What he was trying to convey was, everybody's equal as far as Ahasuerus is concerned. Not in an egalitarian sense, but in the sense that you're nothing compared to all of you are nothing compared to me. I'm the king. I'm this extremely powerful king. And all of you are nothing compared to me. One more point. The idea also, the emphasis of Medaber Kilshon Amo, that everyone should be comfortable speaking his own language, is a way of watering down the traditions of the Persian monarchy, because this is a new day dawning. All of this will continue in the following installments, begins to paint a very important picture of how we view Ahasuerus through the Purim story. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.